I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, the freedom of forgiveness. Are you struggling to forgive or be forgiven? We'll help you discover the grace to heal and move forward. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life.
Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the freedom of forgiveness. Forgiveness is hard, whether we're trying to give it or get it.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to help you discover the grace to heal and move forward if you're struggling with forgiveness. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
You know, I think that this is something that is so complex in so many ways. And a lot of people would say, no, it's not. God forgives us. We just have to forgive other people and move on. But then there are the triggers that happen after you say you have forgiven someone that brings it all back sometimes. There's the one or both of us have forgiven each other, but we haven't really worked on anything, and so we keep falling into the same patterns. There's the fear of being wounded again that often keeps us from doing the work we need to do to be able to make sure that we can forgive without setting ourselves up for being in an abusive situation again or a harmful situation again. It gets more complicated than just saying, I forgive you, and moving on like nothing ever happened.
So give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, are you having a hard time forgiving someone? Or maybe you just worry that you haven't completely forgiven them. Mm. Maybe you still feel hurt in some way or resentful about what they did or said. Or perhaps you struggle to trust them again. You know, how can you forgive someone when they haven't apologized or they're no longer in your life? Or what if they're not sorry and keep committing the offense? And then again, on the other hand, maybe you're the one who's having a hard time getting someone to forgive you. Whatever challenges you're facing with forgiveness, we want to help you find graceful ways to heal. Give us a call. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
I think that this is something that every human on the planet has to deal with in some ways. For many of us, it is things that happened during our childhood that we couldn't make heads or tails out of when we were children. And as we grow into adults and we have more wisdom, more insight, more guidance from the Holy Spirit, we begin to allow the Lord to walk us into a place of healing and, yes, even forgiveness. I know this has happened to me in my life quite a lot. It took a while to realize how toxic some of the people that were in my original, you know, family of origin were. It also got complicated when I tried to work things out and people didn't want to work things out. One of the things that's really difficult is when you feel that the Lord is asking you to get yourself in right order about forgiving someone, about fixing a relationship, and they don't want to, or they don't have the insight to, then how do you handle it? how do you work through that with God? And I know that, you know, that had been a process for me. I'm in a really good place with it. But it was a walk that I had to walk with Jesus to get there. So if you're feeling that sense of, okay, what does this mean for me? Do I have to dust this off and look at it again? Can I ask this person to forgive me? Can I actually extend forgiveness to them without blowing everything back up and ending up in some kind of drama again? These moments of trying to forgive as God has forgiven us can get kind of complicated here on earth. Let's work through it today and get you some new skills and resources and a lot of God's grace. Give us a call on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, what is that and how could it possibly help me either forgive others or be forgiven? Well, you've come to the right place. St. John Paul, when he was Pope, gave a series of reflections on how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design and creation and the way he works with us through salvation history.
In the theology of the body, John Paul reminded us that we were created to thrive in healthy and loving relationships. But sometimes people can say or do things that make that difficult. Indeed, we need to take the process of healing offenses seriously. If we don't, we can end up in a relationship that's full of like hairline fractures that the enemy can use to create more pain down the road. Although Saint Augustine said that forgiveness occurs when we surrender our desire to hurt someone for having hurt us, reconciliation is more complicated. It requires three things. First, the person who committed the offense has to be willing to listen to what we need them to do to heal the wound they caused. Asking them to listen to your needs and to do the work necessary to meet them is not refusing to forgive them. It is what authentic forgiveness and healing requires.
Well, second, assuming the offender is sincere in their efforts to heal the wound, the person who was hurt needs to be open to working with the offender to facilitate that process of reconciliation. You know, as tempting as it can be, the person who was offended can't just say, well, it's your job, you hurt me, you have to fix it, and then walk away. You know, reconciliation really requires everybody to be committed to the process. And third, and finally, both people need to accept that there aren't any shortcuts to healing a broken bone, right? In other words, healing the damage that was done to the relationship. You know, asking for and receiving forgiveness is just the first step on the road back from hurts. The actual healing takes place in an ongoing conscious effort. You know, both the offender and the offended need to have a realistic understanding of the process of reconciliation and resist the temptation to make it harder than it needs to be or pretend that it's easier than it is. So we're talking with you today about forgiveness, how to give it, how to receive it from others that you've hurt. 877-573-7825. Are you having a hard time forgiving someone? Or maybe you worry that you haven't completely forgiven them because you still feel the hurt or resentment or you struggle to trust them. What if that person hasn't apologized or isn't in your life anymore? Is it possible to forgive someone like that? Or what if they aren't sorry, even though they've said they are, and they keep committing the offense? Or maybe you're the one who's having a hard time getting someone to forgive you. Whatever the challenges are, let us help you find grace-filled ways to heal and move forward in the freedom of forgiveness. The title of today's show, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. And we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, you remind us that we must be forgiving of others. 70 times 7. And you repeatedly remind us that as we forgive others, you forgive us. But Lord, it's hard to know how to forgive, especially when people continue to repeat the offense or don't seem to be sorry. Help us to know how to both surrender that desire to hurt them for having hurt us, but also walk the path of reconciliation so that we can heal those relationships damaged by the different things that we do and say to each other to hurt the body of Christ. Help us to respond to those offenses in ways that lead to true healing, both for the person who was offended and for the offender and for the relationship, so that even in the presence of those hurtful things we say and do, we can cooperate with your grace to build the body of Christ. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the freedom of forgiveness. Are you struggling to forgive or be forgiven? We want to help you discover the grace to heal and move forward. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Julie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in St. Louis.
Hi, Julie. Listening on Covenant Radio. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hey, guys. It's me again. You guys have helped me with so many things. And you guys have such great topics. And I'm sorry to call again, but this topic has come up recently, and you guys have such great advice. So, long story short.
Hit us with it.
Yeah, what's going on?
Mother-in-law has not met our children. We've been married 11 years. They ruined our wedding, his mother and his sisters, to the point where we had to ask them to leave the reception. We've tried to make amends since then. I'm sorry for everything. Let's just move forward. That's her response, his mom. That's not a sincere apology to me. And I don't want my husband to feel regret when the time comes and the Lord calls her home. But I'm not ready to just have her meet our kids. So what level of forgiveness could we start with, or what would that look like? Because I told
him... Well, Julie, let me ask you. I mean, 11 years based on, you know, one horrible, horrible incident and your wedding and her being very flippant about apologizing. Uh-huh. You've had 11 years to think about this. What would a real apology look like to you? What do you and your husband need from her? Have you ever talked about that and been able to verbalize it?
No, you know, we struggle with personal communication skills. So conversations like that haven't gone very smoothly on any topic, honestly.
You mean between you and your husband, or you and your mother-in-law?
Yeah. Me and my husband, unfortunately.
So is he angry with you? Is he angry with you that you won't forgive your mother-in-law?
I think he feels shut down because I'm very protective of our kids, just based on the stories he shared of his childhood and then combined.
So there is more to it than just a wedding situation here. Yeah.
Well, and so what would you need to see from your mother-in-law to know that it was safe to be in relationship with her again and that it was okay to have her around your kids?
I guess her to be able to acknowledge the pain she caused. And I don't know if that's too much for someone. I don't know if I'm being reasonable, but... She's never once said, you know what, you're right, I did do those things, and I'm so sorry.
Okay, and that's fair, actually. So, when we're looking for an apology, a good apology that actually enables us to open the door to reconciliation, it involves three things. And I'll explain why these three things are important, too, in a minute. But the first thing it requires is that display of empathy, that recognition that I understand how much I've hurt you. Secondly, it requires a display of integrity. In other words, you had a right to expect more from me. It wasn't just that, you know, you have too thin a skin, or you don't have a sense of humor, or you just have too high expectations. It's, you know, you're right. I was wrong. You had a right to expect more from me, and I blew it. I'm sorry. So there's that sort of objective acknowledgement that I did something wrong. And then thirdly, some kind of offer to fix it, right? Or whether that's, you know, hey, I'd like to do this to make it up, or what can I do to make it up? And there's an openness to a conversation about what needs to happen moving forward. So when we continue to feel hurt even after someone has said that they're sorry, it's usually because at least one of those three things are missing. And in your case, all of those things are missing, right? And why that's important, you know, it can feel like, well, we're holding that thing over the other person's head. And sometimes we can. I mean, let's be honest, right? But generally speaking, you know, when a person isn't capable of doing those three things as part of an apology, that means that they're not really accepting responsibility and you can't trust them to not do it again. Now, what you really need to do, though, I mean, you know, because anytime we kind of set a boundary with somebody, we need to do it in a way that gives them a clear way forward. So the only thing I'm concerned about in what you shared, Julie, is that you haven't necessarily figured that out between you and your husband, to be able to talk about, look, what would we need to be able to see from Mom to know, not just about that wedding situation, but to know that her behavior in general, right, that she's aware of how she comes across and how it isn't really safe to be around her. When I say safe, I don't mean physically necessarily. I mean emotionally or otherwise, you know. Like, what would we really need to see from her? And being able to say, well, look, you know, the fact that knowing that she could actually acknowledge that she kind of ruined this very, you know, the once-in-a-lifetime event.
And anything that she did in your husband's, like, childhood, which you haven't told us the details of, but sounds like it's really an underlying problem.
You know, to be able to talk together about, you know, what would we need to see from your mom to relax this boundary and to know that she's safe to be around us and our kids. And I think that when you have that clarity, when you can be able to say, okay, this is what we need to see from her, and then you start feeling guilty, right? You say, well, gosh, you know, it's been 11 years. Maybe it's time to let Mom in. I really feel bad. She's never met the kids. Then you can ask yourself, well, has she done the things that we asked her to do to let those boundaries down? And you can answer yes or no. And you make your decision based on an objective criteria, not just how you feel about it. Whether you feel angry at her or you feel bad about it. It's, you know, we gave Mom a way forward, a healthy way forward. And that's working for her good, by the way, as well, because, you know, you don't want to put somebody in a position where they can't control themselves. And so if having her around just brings out the worst in her and you, then that's important to be able to say, look, you know, we would need to see this change before we could be around you. So that's what I guess is your next step in this. You and your husband need to clarify what exactly is it that you need to see in order to know that it's safe. And you need to communicate that directly to her to be able to give her a way forward. And if she says no, or if she blows you off and says, well, that's ancient history, let's just forget it and move on. I'm sorry, all right, I told you I'm sorry. Well, that's not really an apology, because it doesn't involve those three things that a good apology requires. And you're not being unforgiving by keeping that boundary. On the other hand, if she says, gosh, I wish you'd told me this at the beginning, and yes, of course I want to work on that, well, then you have a way forward. Julie, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out. I will say, I am a little concerned when you say that you and your husband struggle with this kind of emotional communication as well. And if we can help you with that through the Pastoral Solutions Institute at CatholicCounselors.com, we'd love to be able to help you come to grace-filled ways to be able to discern these questions for yourselves and really have clearer communication and a stronger relationship around this stuff. All right, with that, we have to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls on forgiveness on our show today titled The Freedom of Forgiveness. Are you struggling to forgive or be forgiven? We want to help you find the grace to heal and move forward in your life and relationships. 877-573-7825. In addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Isaac. She's a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She'll be sharing some insights drawn from her work on the power of forgiveness. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Feeling drained, anxious, or stuck in your relationships? You're not alone. I'm Lisa Popcheck from CatholicCounselors.com. Our team of Catholic pastoral counselors can help you find grace-filled, effective solutions for emotional struggles, stress, and relationship challenges. Discover how your faith can bring healing and peace to your heart and home. Visit CatholicCounselors.com today. Let us help your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Steve and Janet Ray here, announcing we are back in the Holy Land, ready to introduce you to our favorite places in the world, the land where God walked. Mass at the most holy sites, pray the mysteries of the rosary where they happened, and experience the Bible in vivid color. We have led over 100 groups through this land, sharing the whole story of salvation. Of all the pilgrimages in all of the world, this is the one you should not miss.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
And Ian Gottman. Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today our show is titled The Freedom of Forgiveness, as we talk about the struggle to forgive or get forgiveness from others. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, where she also engages in faith-based performance and success coaching with faithful people who are in high-pressure positions. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you for having me.
So we're talking about forgiveness today, and you know, when you're working with your clients, you know, I'm sure this comes up a lot. How can we feel more empowered when we're wrestling with the challenges involved in forgiveness?
It does, and I think one of the big things that comes up is that, like, we often kind of think that we're just supposed to forgive and forget. But I think that's a very difficult thing to do, because forgiving and forgetting doesn't create change. Really, it just leaves us feeling unsafe, feeling open to being hurt again. We also don't feel seen, heard, or understood, because that just anger about the injustice still stands. So instead of forgiving and forgetting, what we really need to do is forgive and make a plan. Not a plan that's hurtful or makes us feel more powerless, like withdrawing, but a solution-focused plan. A plan that says, here are the boundaries that I need to set and maintain to help me have a healthier relationship with this person. Here are the habits that I'm going to put in place and the boundaries I'm going to set with myself in order for me to be able to trust myself and be more confident in myself. To know that I'm not going to allow myself to be treated in that way again. And remembering that in doing this, I'm working for the good of myself, but I'm also working for the good of the other person, because it's not good for them to be treating me in a hurtful way either. I think setting and maintaining boundaries can sound a lot like, you know, some things that I allowed in the past are no longer working for me. Or I've been clear about what I need and I'm not going to compromise on that. Or, I understand your perspective, but this is what I need to feel safe. Or, I value our relationship, but I also need to value myself. And I also value you too much to allow you to hurt me in this way. Mm-hmm. Or, I can't continue this conversation if my boundaries aren't being respected. And so on and so forth. But again, though, the key here is not to forgive and move on as though nothing happened. The key is to forgive so that we can create a plan that moves towards healing in ourselves and in the relationship, whatever that ultimately ends up looking like.
Well, and I want to highlight what you said earlier, you know, because we have this idea that to forgive and forget is, you know, sort of in the Bible where it's a commandment or something, but it's right. Not, first of all. And secondly, in the Catechism, it literally says, and I'm reading the quote here right now, it is not in our power not to feel or to forget an offense.
Mm.
Now, it goes on to say that by the heart that offers itself to the Holy Spirit, turns injury into compassion and purifies the memory and transforming the hurt into intercession. And so what they're really talking about is exactly what you're talking about here. We may not forget the offense. We may still continue to feel hurt by it. But if we can bring that hurt to God in prayer and ask Him to help us to make a plan to move forward as we intercede for that person in that situation and ask for the Holy Spirit's guidance, we can start mapping out a way to heal. So it's not just a matter of saying, okay, fine, I forgive you, and pretending to move on, because that still leaves cracks in the foundation of the relationship. But this way, what you're describing and what the Catechism talks about is identifying the wound and then talking about what we need to heal those cracks so that we can have a firm foundation moving forward.
Well, and I think, as the Catechism was saying, involving the Holy Spirit in this really matters. We can't white knuckle our way through forgiveness or even coming up with a plan without the grace of the Holy Spirit being invited into the situation and allowing Him to work in us.
And I think, too, inviting the Holy Spirit in to help Him remind us who we are and who He created us to be, right? Because if I'm remembering who I am, who God created me to be, well, then He wouldn't want me to allow myself to be treated terribly, right? He wouldn't want me to allow my relationships to be, you know, hurtful or toxic in some way, right? He would want me to use those gifts and those strengths that He's given me to help me have the fruitful and abundant and healthy relationships that lead me closer to Him.
Amen. Rachel, thank you so much for being with us. Always a pleasure to talk with you. And folks, if you'd like to learn more about her good work, especially her faith-based success and performance coaching, you can learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. And with that, we are taking your calls about the freedom of forgiveness. Whether you're struggling to forgive someone or get forgiveness from them, we want to help you find grace-filled ways to heal and move forward in your life and relationships. 877-573-7825.
When we refer to our Father who art in heaven, are we talking to a God who is far removed from us? On the contrary, says the Catholic Catechism, we are talking to a Father who is close to humble and contrite hearts. We assert that God is in the hearts of the just, as He is in His holy temple. He is in heaven, His dwelling place. The Father's house is our homeland. Sin has exiled us, but conversion of heart enables us to return to the Father, to heaven. Christians are in the flesh, but they do not live according to the flesh. They spend their lives on earth, but are citizens of heaven. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
You know, maybe we need to ask ourselves, do we really know Jesus? Maybe another way to ask that would be, how familiar are you with the Gospels? When I was living in D.C., I was on the plane taking a late flight home, sitting next to a young girl. She was probably 16, 17. I had my collar on, and we got talking, and she said, somehow in the course of the conversation, she acknowledged that she was running away from home and was in the midst of an awful lot of difficulties that were going on. Her story seemed to be remarkably akin to the story of the prodigal son, which we just heard this past Sunday at Mass, huh? And so I started to speak a little bit about that with her. And I said, you sound a little bit like the younger son in the story of the prodigal son. And she looked at me like I was from Mars. And I said, are you not familiar with the story of the prodigal son? And she says, no, never heard it. And I just looked at her and I says, oh my goodness, are you in for a wonderful evening?
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. What does it mean for a dad to be poor in spirit? According to scripture scholars, the man who is poor in spirit is profoundly aware of his radical dependence on God. Men often struggle with this idea. Many of us have been raised to believe that it's a virtue to be self-sufficient. Boys are taught from toddlerhood that they're sissies if they ever need their moms or dads too much. This world tells us, blessed is the man who takes care of himself and minds his own affairs. But this attitude is completely contrary to the message of Jesus. In the words of Pope Francis, when the heart is rich and self-satisfied, it has no place for the Word of God. Catholic dads, do you know what it means to be radically dependent on God's help to be a great husband and father? To learn more, check out my book, The Datitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today on More to Life, the freedom of forgiveness. Are you struggling to forgive someone or be forgiven by them? Whatever the challenges you're facing in that big complicated equation of forgiveness, we want to help you find grace-filled ways to heal and move forward in your life and relationships. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with John, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania.
Hi, John. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning.
How can we help you, John?
I'm having a hard time. My wife and I are actually on our way to Philadelphia to Nazareth Hospital, where my brother has been taken off life support. He's 67 years old. And we are going down to say our final goodbyes. And I'm having a hard time, an extremely hard time. We were always close growing up. We had a great childhood together. And then he had gotten hurt and became addicted to painkillers. And he then became an alcoholic. And he lost his family. He got divorced. His son pretty much disowned him until recently. And my big time problem is that I'm having a hard time forgiving myself for not helping him along during that time of addiction and alcoholism. Like, our whole family disowned him. And now, you know, he's lying in a hospital bed that he's going
John,
to
help
die.
Me let me ask you a question, and I'm so sorry that you're going through this.
So
and I can
painful.
Hear the grief in your voice, but I just wanted to jump in because of the time limitations, so I apologize for interrupting.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
when you say that, I mean, it's obviously when someone we love is suffering, and especially near the end of life, you know, we start automatically going back through it and saying, well, could I have done this or should I have done that? But when you really step back for a second, what more do you think you could have done? What do you imagine you should have done that you didn't do?
Well, that's exactly what my wife said.
You've got a wise wife.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I mean, he was very, he didn't want help. I mean, I did attempt to help him a few times. But I just, at this point, this stage of life where he's at, I just feel like I could have done more. And
I think, John, objectively, you probably couldn't have. You know, this is a man who lost his wife, his children, his life, his whole family. And when you say, you know, we all disowned him. You know, like you said, you did try to help, and he didn't want help. The thing about addiction, it sucks up everything. It becomes the most important thing and the only important thing in the addict's life.
Especially addiction born of the kind of pain that he was going through from his injury.
And you know, the real challenge with dealing with addiction is the addiction isn't a problem for the addict. It's the solution for them. Addiction is a problem for everybody who loves the addict, but not the addict himself. Because the addiction is the solution that the addict has latched onto to address not just physical problems like your brother did, but emotional problems as well. Mm-hmm. Relationship problems. I don't know how to deal with those things, and this makes me feel better. This is a solution for me. And so when other people come along and say, you know, you need to stop drinking or drugging, what they hear is, you're trying to take my solution away from me. How dare you try to threaten my solution? How dare you? You don't get it, right? And so the harder we try to help that person by talking them through it or trying to encourage them to give up the addiction, all they hear in their head over and over again is, you're trying to take my solution away. You don't get how hard I have it and why this is the only thing I can do to deal with it. So in some ways, the harder you try to help the addict, the worse the addiction gets. And so that's why it's important to let the addict know, look, if you're going to continue to love your addiction more than you love us, we can't be in your life anymore. Because that sets that person up, hopefully, to get to a place where they hit rock bottom and they can see how much this addiction has cost them. Unfortunately, your brother was never able to get to that place. And I'm glad you can be here for him now in these end stages of his life. But I would really encourage you to not let the enemy get in your head and have you beating yourself up for not having been able to save him. Because that's not really possible, especially if he didn't want help. You know, and I do want to point this out. You know, even God can't save us if we don't want his help.
Exactly.
And you aren't more powerful than God. You know, God has to respect our free will, and we do too. If somebody doesn't want help, it's painful, and we're going to grieve that. And it's right to grieve it, and I'm glad you're going to be there for him now. But if he didn't want help before, there's nothing you could have done that would have helped him, and in fact, your efforts to try to help him could have made things worse. Because, again, as I said, he would just hear in his head, you're trying to take my solution away, and then he would draw that solution even closer around him like a big wet blanket and suffocate himself even more.
So right now, in this moment, as you're driving to Philadelphia, I encourage you to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet for him and his soul, and for the peace that you need as well. And know that by going and being there with him, just your presence is a moment of grace in his life and a moment of grace in yours as well.
Now, the last thing I'll say before I let you go is you're going to be grieving. And in fact, you're grieving already.
Definitely.
Grief, though, is the process of finding healthy ways to stay connected to the person that we've lost or are losing. And what's happening right now is you're latching on to those regrets as a way of holding on to him. If I could have just done that, then I could hold on to him, then I could keep him. Do you see what I'm saying? What I want you to do is put that energy into reflecting on the good childhood you had together, the memories you created together, who he
was before the addiction. The person he was before the addiction, yeah.
And really hold on to that. And know that through God's mercy, he can be that again in heaven. And pray for him that he would be open to that process in purgatory so that you can be together again. But focus on those healthy ways to stay connected to him rather than latching on to the regrets as a way of staying connected, because that's the process of grief. It's making you want to look for something that will allow you to hold on to him. And we can either latch on to regrets as a way of doing that, or we can latch on to those good memories and the gifts that that person has brought into our life. So I would really encourage you to pray for the grace to choose to hold on to those good things as a way of staying connected rather than letting the enemy torture you with those regrets about things that wouldn't have made any difference anyway. John, thank you so much for the call. We've added your brother to our More to Life prayer list, as well as you and your family as well through this difficult time. If there's more we can do to support you through your grief, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But I hope that these comments will help you kind of think differently about this process that you're going to be going through. And I'm very glad that you can be there for him in this very difficult time. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825 about the freedom of forgiveness. You know, sometimes it's hard to get that freedom because we struggle to let go of the pain when other people have hurt us. Sometimes it's hard to get that freedom because we can't get the forgiveness from the people that we've hurt. We want to help you celebrate that freedom of forgiveness today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. And as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Mark chapter 11, verse 25.
And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses.
So I want to talk about this verse because, again, understanding this really requires us to understand what forgiveness entails. And as Rachel was pointing out earlier, and as we read from the Catechism, forgiveness does not mean pretending that the thing didn't hurt or forgetting that it happened. It means trying to make a plan to move forward. And whether that other person is able to participate in that plan or not, really, that's a separate question. God does not expect us to fix relationships all on our own. He asks us to surrender our desire to hurt someone for having hurt us. That's what forgiveness is. St. Augustine said that. It's when we surrender our desire for revenge, we have forgiven somebody. Reconciliation, though, is the next step. And that's possible, but not guaranteed. It depends on whether they're willing to work with us. So if we have surrendered our desire to hurt that person for having hurt us, we've done what God's asked us to do. And if we've left the door open for a reconciliation, if that person was willing to work with us to heal the relationship, that's all God's asked us to do. We can't drag that person kicking and screaming through that door of reconciliation any more than God can drag us into heaven against our will. And we can't ordain ourselves to be more powerful than God is. So keep that in mind as you reflect on this verse from Mark 11:25. And when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're talking about the freedom of forgiveness today on More to Life. We'll be taking your calls in just a minute.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
He was a doctor of the church and one of the most famous saints of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Augustine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, but he balanced his genius with humility. Once declared, it was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels. He died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the freedom of forgiveness. Are you struggling to forgive or be forgiven? Let's talk it out.
Let's talk now with Tasha, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Dallas, Texas, on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hi, Tasha. Welcome more to Life. How can we help you out?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I am calling in because I am having struggles for forgiving my husband. He and my daughter had a very hard argument, disagreement in October of 2024, and I stopped talking to him for about 2 months because I felt that the way that he as a parent, and it's my adult daughter, the way he as a parent handled the situation was not okay, that he said some very hurtful things that I felt as a father he should not have said to my daughter. And I know that he said some things out of anger. My daughter, she is experiencing some concerns, possibly addictions. And there are some concerns in her parenting. And I've taken on a large role in caring for her children. So they both said some very serious and some very truthful things to one another. But after the 2 months, I did feel the Holy Spirit just telling me to apologize to my husband and the way that I handle it, because I stopped talking to him at that as soon as the conversation ended. I didn't say anything else to him for 2 months. And after I did that, I just can't find myself. Every time that I talk to him, that I'm around him, I feel very anxious. I feel angry every day. Every day since this argument has happened.
Tasha, are you still living under the same roof with him?
We're not, no.
You're not living under the same roof. So you're living in separate households, but you're still married.
Did you move out, or what happened there?
No, we've been separated for quite some time, but we still were having daily communication.
I see.
So we still communicated regarding.
So when you say that it's hard for you to forgive him, what would you need to see from him in order to forgive
and
him?
I guess that's what I'm not quite understanding, because like I said, I pray about this every day. Every day I've been praying about this, and it just came to me to just, you know, apologize and then allow God to kind of work through them in addressing the issues that they have with one another.
But this is about your feel. You're holding resentment against him for how he treated your daughter. What is it that you, when you refuse to talk to him for 2 months, you know, if you just let that fantasy go for a second and say, okay, if I could just imagine what I wanted him to do in response to my shutting him out for 2 months, what was it that you wanted to see him do?
I wanted him to apologize to my daughter. I wanted him to say that as a father, I am very concerned about you. And I guess it's the way I wanted him to handle it. I wanted him to say, I'm very concerned about you. There are some things that are happening that we're trying to understand and try to help you with, but the way that I responded to you in this situation was not okay. The things that I said.
Okay,
to you
so what I'm hearing you say, okay, based on, because you sort of mentioned it, you know, in passing, but that your daughter's dealing with some addiction issues and other problems like that.
Is it possibly even threatening to the well-being of your grandchildren?
Is that what I heard you say?
Yes.
Okay, so what this is really about, it's not so much about what he said, it's about your fear that he's not helping her recover from her addiction, that his behavior made it worse, and you're afraid of losing her. Your approach to it is to kind of rush in and try to be there to take care of the kids, which is a beautiful thing, to maybe support her in, you know, more, you know, kind of, I don't know, more warm ways. And his approach was to try to shake her up by being mean to her. And I'll be honest with you, neither of your approaches are working.
And it's putting more distance between the two of you, because you're not communicating either on what either of your approaches are or working with any professionals who can actually teach you ways to do this successfully.
Yeah, neither one of you knows how to handle this, and you're holding him responsible for not handling it the way you want to. And your approach isn't going to work either. It's like,
and as we were, you know, talking with our caller John earlier, addiction is a very difficult thing to deal with unless you have professionals involved in it, because people are way more committed to what that addiction is doing for them than any other relationship they have.
So I appreciate that you guys are separated, but you have a daughter that you love who's really struggling, and I would really encourage you to seek out professional help to learn how to deal with this addiction and how to really support your daughter
and
together. And how to talk with each other about all this stuff, because neither of you has any kind of healthy problem-solving strategies. I mean, you know, you're just as bad as he was. cause, in the sense of he lost it and he lashed out, but you lost it and then shut down and withdrew for 2 months. Neither one of you knows how to handle conflict effectively, and neither one of you really knows how to support your daughter through this in a way that will work. And just being mad at him for him not handling it the way you are and your way not working, that's not responsible. So I really want to, I'm being harsh on you here, but there's a lot at stake.
There's so much at stake.
I'm not doing this because I don't appreciate the pain that you're in or the frustration that you feel. I'm doing this because I see what's at stake. And if you guys keep doing what you're doing, it's just going to get worse.
And I think that's you, the knowledge you have that there is so much at stake for your daughter, for your grandchildren, for your relationship as a family. There's so much at stake that both of you are in that reaction feeling that you have if you saw a truck coming down on your daughter in the middle of the highway and you're just freaking out. And that's understandable, but not helpful.
Well, and I'll tell you something. This is a little bit of what's called projection, right? You're angry about your daughter's addiction, too, and you're angry about all the problems that are going on in her life that she's caused, but you're afraid to be angry at her. I realize I'm going on a little bit of a limb here, but you're afraid to be angry at her, so you're directing all that anger you have toward her, toward your husband, because you feel like he displayed that anger toward her, which kind of like violates your prime directive. And so, you know, he deserves that anger. And I just want to challenge you on this. This is a mess. This is a terrible situation, and nobody knows how to deal with it well, which is why you guys need to seek some professional help to know how best to be there for your daughter. Tasha, I want to thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But understand what this lack of, quote-unquote, this lack of forgiveness is really about. It's not about the argument they had. It's about you not knowing how to help your daughter and you taking out that anger on your husband rather than recognizing we need help for dealing with this in a better way. Thanks so much for the call. We've only got a couple of minutes here, so I don't want to bring Rita on, but I do want to address your question, Rita. She says, how do you forgive yourself when it's your fault that your husband died in an auto accident? So that's a horrible situation, and unfortunately we don't have time to get into the details, but my heart broke when I read it, and so I just want to offer you some thoughts here in the 2.5 minutes we've got to go. So forgiveness means surrendering your desire to hurt the person that hurt you. And in this case, that person is you. Right? You need to surrender the desire to hurt yourself for having done this thing that hurt your husband, that killed your husband, and is hurting you. Now, what does that mean? It means that you need to seek healing. It means that you need to find ways to heal whatever the problems are in your life that would enable you to be the healthy woman that he's calling, that God wants you to be, and that your husband would have wanted you to be. And to say, you know, I'm going to find ways to work for my good. You know, I said earlier to John that when we're grieving, we need to find healthy ways to stay connected to the person that we lost. In your case, you're staying connected to your husband by holding on to your self-hatred. And that's not serving him or you in any way. And I understand it. When we hurt a person that we love, we always feel guilty because we should, because we want to do something to make that right. And in this case, it's the worst kind of pain to have lost somebody because of something you did. And I understand that. But you can't hold on to your husband by holding on to your self-hatred for what you did. And so forgiving yourself means recognizing that I am not going to continue hurting myself for having done something that hurts me. I'm going to do the work that needs to happen to heal that wound and to find healthy ways to stay connected to my husband, who I trust in God's mercy is in heaven and loves you and wants you to be well.
Those ways to stay connected to him is to really look at what you admired most about him. Not just what you loved about him, what you truly admired about his character, his personality, the way he lived his life, whether those are giant things or little things. Make a list of them over a few days of prayer, and then start asking yourself, as part of your forgiveness process, how can I start embodying the values, the virtues that were so wonderful in him? How can I take a little bit of that on so that I can honor who he was for me and for the world?
But when you say, how do you forgive yourself when it's your fault for that your husband died in an auto accident, you forgive yourself by recognizing that you need to stop hurting yourself. And as soon as I say that, I know what's going through your head, which you say, well, I don't deserve to feel good. I don't deserve to be happy. I don't deserve to have a healthy life. Well, that's more the enemy getting in your ear, trying to tear you apart so that there are two victims of this accident. What you need to be doing is asking yourself, if I could stop hating myself, if I could stop beating up on myself, if I could stop torturing myself, how would I treat myself? And that's what it means to forgive yourself. And if you need some help doing that, we can help you find faithful ways to walk that journey. And reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, and we'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you through this challenge. Rita, thank you so much for the call. And listeners, if you are struggling to forgive or be forgiven in some way, let us help you walk that road. Reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. And as I said, we'll connect you with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Well, thanks for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Thanks for tuning in, and have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.